Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope in Jesus Christ. What is heaven like and who will be there, according to the Bible? New York Times bestselling author and international evangelist Don Piper joins us today. By God's grace, he survived a head-on collision with a semi-truck where he was pronounced dead on the scene. A minister received permission to enter Don's car and began praying over his lifeless body. 90 minutes later, Don returned from heaven with vivid memories. Well, we pause at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus, to the one who knows you, to the one who loves you, no matter what you're facing right now, what you're going through, whether it's like Don Piper, feeling like you've been hit by a semi-truck, or whatever it is you're facing. Always hope in Jesus, the one who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins, shed his blood on that cross, and rose again on the third day. The Lord Jesus today calls you to turn from your way, to follow God's way. That's our prayer and our hope, that you will hear his voice and indeed do that. Reverend Don Piper is the author of 90 Minutes in Heaven. It's a true story of death and life. His latest book is People I Met at the Gates of Heaven. Who's going to be there because of you? He describes who and what he saw in heaven. Don Piper is married to Eva. They're parents of three adult children. They have six grandchildren. They live in the area of Greater Houston, Texas. This is a pre-recorded show with Don Piper. Lani Ka'a'a and I will be back in a few moments. Now open your heart and listen. Don, welcome to our show.
Honored to be here. It's just exciting to contemplate being back in the islands again, and I'm honored to be with you today. Thank you.
Well, I actually should say a welcome back to our show. You and Eva were with us a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, Don, why did you and Cecil Murphy write People I Met at the Gates of Heaven?
Well, it's a sequel, actually, and there's over 10 years between the original book and the sequel. In the meantime, we wrote three more books together, so this is actually our fifth book, but it is a direct sequel to the original book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. We just got so many questions about the people that I met at the gates of heaven. When I was in the car crash and I was standing at the gates, people wanted to know about those people, and I mentioned them very briefly in the original book because it really covers a lot of other subjects. And so I decided to speak. And in many cases, some of the people that are in the book, People I Met at the Gates of Heaven, who's going to be there because of you, I have never spoken of before in public, or in most cases even privately. So it's an eye-opener. It's a chance to talk about these people and what I believe they meant to me, and why they, in particular, met me at the gates of heaven. So we sat down to write the book, and we wrote it, and we're very pleased with the way it turned out. But frankly, probably a third of the book or more is just answers about heaven. What is heaven like? Who's going? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly want to get into some of that. What is heaven like? But tell us, who did you see?
It was really a wide variety of people. The first person I saw was my grandfather, and I had been very close to him. I'm the oldest of the grandchildren, and I've just always been very close to him. He was a very simple man. He had no formal education whatsoever. He could not really read or write, except very rudimentary things. And I thought he was a genius because he was a carpenter. He could take lumber and nails and build things, and many of them, even though he's been gone a long time, are still standing. I could take you to them and show you his handiwork. So I just adored him, and he treated me like I was the most wonderful person ever, and so we were very close. And then he died one night very suddenly of a heart attack, and I ended up riding with him in the ambulance to the hospital, and so he did not make it. I was utterly devastated, and so the last time I saw him here on earth was at his funeral in a casket, and honestly, he did not look very good. So when I got run over by the truck, I'm standing at the gates of heaven now. He's the first person I saw, and he looked great. If you want to look good, heaven is where you want to be, and he looked fantastic. Here on earth, after 70 years and many injuries in the construction business, with scars all over him, really. He had many broken bones, and he was actually missing some fingers. But when I saw him at the gates of heaven, he extended his hands to me to welcome me, and all of his fingers were there. I'd never seen them before. He was perfect, and I believe that everybody in heaven will be perfect. The only person in heaven with scars is going to be Jesus to remind the rest of us of how we got there. But we will be perfect. And, of course, I had never seen him that way before. He was surrounded by other relatives. My great-grandmother was there. She had been quite infirmed when she died, and victim of osteoporosis. She was all slumped over, but not in heaven. And in heaven, she had her own teeth. I had never seen them before. Often down here, she didn't even wear her dentures, but she smiled at me in heaven with her real teeth. It was the first time I ever saw her real smile. There were teachers there. There were some classmates who had died in high school, a couple. There were just all manner of people that had had influence in my life, but very different kinds of influence, except they were all followers of Christ, and they had all influenced me for Christ. So when I saw them, I knew where I was because I knew where they were when they had died, some of them very tragically in accidents and just all the drownings, I mean, all sorts of things. They're now all gathered at the gates of heaven to greet me, and I knew where I was because they were there to meet me. But I ask, as I returned here and lay in a hospital bed for 13 months, I ask myself many times, why did these particular people greet me? And it was because they helped me get there. But it also caused me to ask the question, which is the subtitle of the new book, People I Met at the Gates of Heaven, who's going to be in heaven because of you? I think we're here to help everyone else get there. And I think we have much work to do. So that's why I do what I do, which is invite people into heaven and try to help them have a better trip on the way.
This might sound like a divergent question, but my curiosity is so piqued. You mentioned that your grandpa stuck out his hand,
yes.
And you shook his hand, a restored hand, right? What did
exactly.
It feel like, Don? What did it feel
well,
like?
Well, you know, in heaven, at this stage, in history, in God's creation of earth and our being here on it, you know, we're tangible, obviously, but we're also flesh, so this will perish. The death rate here on earth is 100%. But in heaven, people were completely tangible, and I want to explain this as best as I can, but not fully complete, because there's coming a time when we will have glorified bodies, which is almost indescribable as it turns out, you know, what we will look like and how glorious we will be. But in the meantime, the people that met me at the gates were tangible people and fully recognizable as themselves. So he really actually literally embraced me, and it was so exciting and warm and accepting and just magnificent. And remember now, the last time I'd seen him, he was lying in a casket. He was elderly. He was not in good shape. He was a wrinkled gentleman. He had missing parts of his hands. I mean, he just looked like he had, well, he looked beyond his earthly age. But in heaven now, all that stuff was gone, and the things that were gone here were replaced there. So. But I knew him. In heaven, I think you know everyone, even the people that you did not know on earth. I think you will know there. I don't think there's any introductions in heaven. The Bible says we will know as we are known. So I knew the people. Now, no one met me there that I did not know here. And the reason for that, I believe.
Well, obviously, Lonnie, there are, this piques our curiosity. There are more questions, and then there's still a certain level of fascination with what he saw and who he saw and what he describes. This with Don Piper. Your reactions, Lonnie?
Well, you know, when I listen to Don talk about that experience of going to heaven, it's absolutely surreal, because we all know Jesus, that we will go there. And honestly, past knowing that, I kind of haven't really thought about it, you know, or wondered who might be there. And what struck me the most is when he said, those that you have helped or those that have helped you get there will be there to greet you. That was exciting for me, because there's a lot of people that came to mind right at that minute that have passed. And you know what? They're the first people I'd want to see, because I'd want to say thank you.
Well, and he does talk, and when we'll come back, we're going to hear more. With the experiences that he's had, who he's seeing, and the description that he gives, I think we'll just take some time to take this in. And, of course, we're going to ask some questions of him, and he'll answer. And I think, for the sake of our program and our dear listeners, always be thinking about how grounded or how tethered. That's a question that we should ask of people. Are these experiences with what the scriptures teach? So you'll hear more from Don Piper when we come back. Don has appeared on NBC's Today Show, ABC's Nightline, Fox and Friends, The O'Reilly Factor, The 700 Club, Praise the Lord, and more. He's been on broadcast in England, Sweden, Germany, and Australia. Indeed, quite fascinating when he talks about what he saw and who he saw. But keep that ear open and eye out for his grounding in the Word. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Don't miss one of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments. On Friday, September 3rd, Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministries presents the 24th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at the beautiful Hawaii Prince Golf Club. This is an amazing day of golf, lunch, dinner, awards, and door prizes included. This is a three-person scramble, 10:30 check-in, and 12 noon shotgun start. Entry fee is $175 per golfer or $525 per team. Entry deadline is August 1st, and we're filling up fast, so don't delay. Register today at jccy.org. Contest entries and mulligans available for pre-purchase or may be purchased at the tournament. Visit jccy.org to register. Teams are filling fast. Register today. Learn about special sponsorships at jccy.org. See why golfers return year after year. The Call to Hope Golf Tournament, Friday, September 3rd at the beautiful Hawaii Prince Golf Club. Register now at jccy.org.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Don Piper has a degree in broadcasting from Louisiana State University. He's spoken in all 50 states and many countries to an estimated 2 million people in person in over 3,500 venues. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here along with my co-host, Lonnie Ka'a'a. Don Piper joins us. He is a New York Times bestselling author of 90 Minutes in Heaven, A True Story of Death and Life. 10 years later, he wrote the sequel, he and Cecil Murphy. The book is called People I Met at the Gates of Heaven, Who is Going to Be There Because of You? This is a pre-recorded interview with Don Piper. Join us now as Lonnie Ka'a'a and I be back in a few moments with some comments. Here's Don Piper.
Know as we are known, so I knew the people. Now, no one met me there that I did not know here, and the reason for that, I believe, is because the rest of the people were inside. They did not come out to greet me. I think these people knew I was coming. I think in heaven, everybody knows who's coming because they know when somebody makes a decision to accept Christ here. They know that. They celebrate that there. So they know who's coming. I did not sneak up on heaven. They were fully expecting me that day. They've just been joined by a whole lot more people since that I know and love who will greet me when I return. And so they were magnificent. They were quite spectacular. And the embrace that I felt was, frankly, beyond any embrace I've ever felt here. I can't wait to be there It's a prepared place for prepared people.
Well, what did they wear?
Long robes, brilliant, iridescent robes. And everyone is wearing the same thing. There's no distinguishing. You're not going to have to go run down to Macy's and find out, you know, what you're going to wear. It's everyone's wearing the same thing. One of the regrets I had when they made the movie, 90 Minutes in Heaven, was of all the scenes that they made, I was absent from that, those days of making that particular part of the film, because I had a previous engagement. And when I came back, they had filmed all the scenes with all the people wearing street clothes, like earthly clothes. They were very well dressed, but nobody in heaven wears that kind of clothing. And it would have just been outrageously expensive to shoot that part of the film all over again. So it was left, but I do regret that it looks that way, because that's not what people wear in heaven. They are quite magnificent robes, and everyone was dressed the same, and they looked great. And, you know, I didn't really look down, but I assume I was wearing the same thing, because I was home. Heaven is home. This home, this place where we live here on Earth, is not home. We're just passing through.
So you saw them, people like Jen Cowart, Mike Wood, others,
yes.
Grandma,
right.
Grandpa.
Yes.
Did you see Jesus?
Only in the distance, over their heads, through the gates. And, of course, there are 12 gates to heaven, three on each side of the magnificent city. I could see a pinnacle in the middle of the city, high and lifted up. And on the top of that were the brightest lights. And that's really saying something, because the light at the gate would blind us if we did not have earthly eyes. Inside, on this pinnacle, are thrones and the incredible, glorious light of Christ. He is light, and God is light. And so I could see the light, and that's really actually where I wanted to go. The moment I saw that, I wanted to pass the people, because I knew they were coming behind me, go through the kind of thick walls of heaven and go down the street of gold that was present there, and climb that hill and fall at the feet of the great God of all creation and say, thank you for letting me come. But I never got a chance to do that. I did move in that direction, but I wasn't there. So I saw the light, and this is going to sound a little strange, I think, probably to some people, but I'm glad I didn't get any closer. When I came back, and now, as glorious as heaven was, and as almost beyond words it is to try to describe it with earthly words, I came back to a really hellish existence on earth. So many broken bones, and that in some cases would not be fixed, and hospitalization and 34 operations. I came back here, and had I seen the face of Jesus and had that taken away from me, I don't think I could have functioned here on earth. I just don't think I could have gone on, knowing that I had it, and I was there, and that I lost it. Now, I didn't lose it in the long-term sense, because I know I'll be back, and I'll stay. But in this particular case, I came back to a really, really difficult life for a long time, and having a chance to see Jesus face-to-face, and then miss that, I think would have impacted me very negatively here. So I wasn't allowed to stand in front of him face to face. But one day we will, and it'll be the most glorious thing that I can ever, ever imagine or conceive of. And we get to do that if we know him. It's his place. In order to go to this place, we have to have a personal relationship with him.
You write about time frames, and I appreciate that. It's important to fit some of these time pieces together. It took a number of years, didn't it? Before,
oh, it did. Yeah, I
before
didn't
you
write
even the, wrote the first book,
yes,
right?
Yes, it did. It was 14 years before I wrote the first book after the accident. You know, some people say, well, you know, you wrote this book, you were trying to capitalize on something, and you're going to make money off of it and all that stuff. And the truth is, had I wanted to do that, I wouldn't have waited 14 years to write the book after the accident. I really wrote the book, and if you have a copy of the book or you at the library or something like that, I suppose you could even get online. The first line of the preface of the book is, I wrote this book in self-defense. That's the first line of the book. And by that I meant, if I write this down, this testimony, could you just read it? And then I wouldn't have to repeat it over and over and over again, thousands of times. And the answer to that question is no. People still want to hear it in person. That will bring me to Hawaii for weeks. Yes, I understand that. It is a remarkable story. So I waited a long time to write it because I didn't really plan to spend the rest of my life talking about this thing. First of all, it was very painful and difficult to try to endure the accident after it happened to me, and I don't know that too many people would want to go back over something like that again. But I do, and I have, and I will, because I realized I tried to put something behind me, and God put it in front of me. And sometimes that's what our testimony is. It can be very painful. Can be very difficult, but it also can inspire others. It is a testimony. It's not a sermon. I have a lot of sermons. I've been preaching for 35 years, but it's a testimony, and if somebody is an authentic follower of Jesus, they have a testimony. Our testimony is how we got to know Christ, how we're living now, and so that's what it was. I wrote the book about 14 years later, with the idea that now it's in book form, and so if anybody wants to know, they could just read the book. Well, a lot of people read the book.
Lonnie, we talk about the power of testimony. Don is talking about the power of his testimony, his story. How has his testimony, his story, impacted you?
Well, I think I said in the beginning, it's opened my mind to think more on what is heaven all about. Again, I think, in my Christian faith, I've worked, a lot of my focus has been on how can I serve the Lord here? And knowing that I'm going to go to heaven one day is amazing. But actually, once I get to the gates, I haven't really spent a lot of time thinking on it. He begins to open my mind to what that might look like. And you know what's awesome about that is that looking into that moment helps me look back onto this moment on earth to say to myself, who am I helping to get to heaven? Who am I offering eternity through my words, through my actions? What purpose am I serving in telling my testimony to someone so that they might get to heaven? Because I believe with all my heart that that is what Don is doing, is powerful, amazing, sometimes a little complex testimony to give, but no different than any other testimony that might bring someone closer to accepting Jesus Christ. And so that's what I'm challenged with as I listen to him.
Don Piper and Cecil Murphy have worked on a number of books together, including Daily Devotionals, 90 Readings for Hope and Healing, Heaven is Real, Lessons on Earthly Joy, and Getting to Heaven, Departing Instructions for Your Life Now, something that Lonnie just alluded to. These books published in 2006, 2007, and 2011, respectively, all by Berkeley Praise Penguin. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. When we come back, more from Don Piper. Don Piper sharing with us about the people he met at the gates of heaven. We are compelled to ask questions. We are compelled to ask about response, our response. What if the Lord did a work in your life? Would you share your story, your testimony? How might God be able to use your story, your testimony? Find out more about Don Piper and the ministry, DonPiperMinistries.com. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Don't miss one of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments. On Friday, September 3rd, Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministries presents the 24th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at the beautiful Hawaii Prince Golf Club. This is an amazing day of golf, lunch, dinner, awards, and door prizes included. This is a three-person scramble, 10:30 check-in, and 12 noon shotgun start. Entry fee is $175 per golfer or $525 per team. Entry deadline is August 1st, and we're filling up fast, so don't delay. Register today at jccy.org. Contest entries and mulligans available for pre-purchase or maybe purchased at the tournament. Visit jccy.org to register. Teams are filling fast. Register today. Learn about special sponsorships at jccy.org. See why golfers return year after year. The Call to Hope Golf Tournament, Friday, September 3rd at the beautiful Hawaii Prince Golf Club. Register now at jccy.org.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So as you listen to Don Piper, you might be wondering, well, how can I get his book or his books? Well, you can find out more about him and his ministry at DonPiperMinistries.com. Again, that's DonPiperMinistries.com. Maybe you're tuning in right now or caught the last part of the last segment. Just a quick reminder, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift, a free podcast. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, and this is available for you. This and other shows that we have produced for you by God's grace. Danny Yamashiro here with Lani Ka'a. Thanks for joining with us. We're listening to a pre-recorded interview with Don Piper. So let's go back. Let's listen to what Don has to say and then open up your heart to what the Lord might be saying to you.
The idea that now it's in book form, and so if anybody wants to know, they could just read the book. Well, a lot of people read the book. About 9 million copies of that book sold. And you can multiply that by ever how many people were in that household that probably read it or in the library that read it. So it's just been enormously humbling and overwhelming. And so we did write some other books that I really wanted to write because they were helpful. A book called Heaven is Real, Lessons on Earthly Joy for People Going Through Tragedy and Loss and Suffering. How in the world do you get through that? That's what that book is about. It's a very personal book to me. I wrote a devotional book called Daily Devotions, based on 90 Minutes, and it's a book to start every day with. You know, it's a short story, encouraging messages and scripture verses. And then I wrote a book called Getting to Heaven, Departing Instructions for Your Life Now. In other words, how do you live on the way to heaven? If you've made that decision, what do we do now between the time that we make the decision to follow Christ and he takes us home? And then, because of the demand that was there, we decided to write the sequel to the original book, which is Who Did I Meet in Heaven and What is Heaven Like? So that kind of completes the circle of the people that I met. I have one more manuscript I have not published. My mother just passed away a few weeks ago, and I write about her father, who is my grandfather, the one who met me at the gates of heaven. And it's a tribute to him, the man we talked about at the beginning of this conversation. His name was Joe Kulbeth, K-U-L-B-E-T-H. He was my grandfather. And so this book is dedicated to him. It's his life story, which is unbelievably compelling. A simple, ordinary man, but he had a profound impact. And so that book is called Joe Socks, which was his nickname. Has not been published yet, so I want to get it published before I check out and go back to heaven, hopefully.
Well, talking about heaven, and again, going back to times. So you in the accident, you were on earth, but time was passing on earth, and time was passing in heaven. So when you met who you met, describe to us the distinction of times as you describe a little bit of that in the book. But I think it'll make it clear with earthly time and what happened in heaven and heavenly and what happened in eternity. So I'm not putting it in my words, but how would you describe that?
Yeah, it's a good question, really, because, you know, we're three-dimensional. We're captured in time. We celebrate people's birth. It's a birthday. It's the beginning of their earthly existence. And then, you know, we commemorate the passing of someone, and as well we should. Life is very brief, relatively. We know the planet's been here for a long time, but we don't get to stay very often. You know, my mother was 90 when she died a few weeks ago, and we celebrate an incredible life of 90 years. It's just amazing, and it's wonderful to have lived that long. And yet, it's just such a brief. It's the Bible calls it a twinkle in the eye of God. It's like a vapor. So time here passes. It seems to pass slowly sometimes, but ultimately, it seems to pass very quickly because we're here, and we try to live our lives, and then suddenly it's the end of life. So, in my case, I was only 38 years old when the truck struck me. So the very moment that the truck ran over me on the bridge and crushed my car with me in it, I was killed instantly, pronounced dead almost immediately by four paramedics. So I took my last breath on that bridge where the accident happened. I took my next breath at the gates of heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's what the Bible says happens when we're ready to go, and I was ready to go that day. I just wasn't planning on it. And so being ready to go is very crucial because you just never know when life will end. But in heaven, there is elapse of what we would call time, and yet there's no time. It's an eternal place. Very difficult for us to wrap our earthly brains around that because we don't know what it's like to not have any concept of time. So people don't age in heaven. No time passes in heaven. There are no clocks in heaven. There's no daylight savings time in heaven. There's none of that because it is an eternal place. Upon arrival, we will live there for eternity, and we won't notice time. There's no wrinkles in heaven. There's no... I've had people actually stop me in the middle of services before and a guy interrupted me. He wanted to know if there was going to be hair in heaven, you know, because he didn't have any. His hair was gone. So, yes, I think he'll have hair in heaven because he started out that way. But there's no, like, you don't age. So heaven is an eternal place. God is eternal. In the beginning, it says, and that meant the beginning of time as we know it. In the beginning, God created the heaven, the earth, and everything on it, and time began. But before that, he was still God, and he will still be God after this is all over with here. So it's an eternal place. There is no time. There is no night. Some people are kind of disappointed to hear that. There's no sleep. What would you be resting from? You'll have a perfect body. So there is no time in heaven, even though it's propelled forward. I mean, things go forward. It's linear. But there's no elapse of time. You won't say, well, next week we'll do this. There is no one next week. It's eternal. So very difficult for us earthbound people to consider that because everything here revolves around time. I have to do this. I've got to be back in time. I have to do that, you know. That will never be a concern in heaven. The focus is on being with God and each other eternally. It's awesome.
Do you conduct funerals differently now?
I do.
Because of what you saw?
Absolutely, I do. When I leave the platform or the cemetery and I walk to the front, and if it is a burial, a ground burial, or even if it's an urn, someone has been cremated, and I place my hand on that, and I'll say, in a few moments, this service will be concluded. Some of us will go out to the cemetery for a committal service. Others will have this urn to take home, or they will put it in a columbarium. But the truth is, he or she is not here. They're absent from the body. They're having the best time. They're having a glorious time. They may be doing cartwheels down the streets of golden heaven because they're home and we're not. We're left here to mourn them passing and left here to miss them temporarily because...
Well, so Lonnie, when Don Piper talks about time, there's a descriptiveness to it that, at least on my part, you know, I'm sort of taken by it, just to think of that. No time, no sleep, no night, and so on. Your thoughts?
Well, it sounds amazing to me that I'll never have to worry about another wrinkle, that's for sure. But it's, you know, I see a sort of picture where the day we're born, the Lord drops us into a timeline. And we march on this timeline until the day we return and we get off a timeline. And so our existence is eternal with God, but there's a speck of it that is actually on a timeline as we are here on earth. And it is hard to wrap my head around it. And yet it is truth in the Word of God. And it is very, honestly, it's exciting for me to know that I am just a speck, and yet eternally I will be alive and well with Jesus Christ forever.
Well, as you share those reflections, it certainly takes Don Piper a lot of courage and a lot of energy to travel around the world and share these stories in live with live audiences. When we come back, Don will share about some very sensitive matters, answering some questions that people ask when they are listening to him. I don't think you want to miss this next part with Don Piper. It's a pre-recorded time with Don. When we come back, you'll hear more about that. Again, sensitive questions, tender questions, tough questions about heaven. Who's there? Who gets to go there? But there's a wrinkle, as I might say, maybe not in heaven, but a wrinkle in these questions that I think as I anticipate, will really touch your hearts. Maybe grab your hearts. More from Don Piper when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Don't miss one of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments. On Friday, September 3rd, Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministries presents the 24th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at the beautiful Hawaii Prince Golf Club. This is an amazing day of golf, lunch, dinner, awards, and door prizes included. This is a three-person scramble, 10:30 check-in, and 12 noon shotgun start. Entry fee is $175 per golfer or $525 per team. Entry deadline is August 1st, and we're filling up fast, so don't delay. Register today at jccy.org. Contest entries and mulligans available for pre-purchase or may be purchased at the tournament. Visit jccy.org to register. Teams are filling fast. Register today. Learn about special sponsorships at jccy.org. See why golfers return year after year. The Call to Hope Golf Tournament, Friday, September 3rd at the beautiful Hawaii Prince Golf Club. Register now at jccy.org.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Don Piper and his co-author Cecil Murphy have sold over 10 million copies of their books. Don Piper, well, they channel revenues from book sales and speaking income to financially support more than 20 ministries and charity organizations worldwide. Find out more about Don Piper Ministries at donpiperministries.com. We head back to our pre-recorded interview with Don, talking about some very compelling questions, subjects. Here they are. Funerals differently now?
I do.
Because of what you saw?
Absolutely, I do. When I leave the platform or the cemetery and I walk to the front, and if it is a ground burial, or even if it's an urn, someone has been cremated, and I place my hand on that, and I'll say, in a few moments, this service will be concluded. Some of us will go out to the cemetery for a committal service. Others will have this urn to take home, or they will put it in a columbarium. But the truth is, he or she is not here. They're absent from the body. They're having the best time. They're having a glorious time. They may be doing cartwheels down the streets of Golden Heaven because they're home and we're not. We're left here to mourn them passing, and left here to miss them temporarily, because one day we'll be there if we're ready to go. But don't worry, they are alive. They're more alive now than they ever were while they were here. And the people who know me and know my story rejoice because they're seeing it right before their eyes. They're seeing a man who was killed in a car wreck who's standing in front of them and giving them hope. So it is different. I've lost some very close friends. I've lost family members. As I mentioned, I just did my mother's funeral at the end of January, and I must say, I loved her. I'm the oldest of her children, and I've known her the longest, and we went through a lot of things together. My dad was career Army, so he was often overseas, and she raised three boys by herself most of the time. She was an awesome, great lady and a wonderful mother. So it wasn't without sadness that I stood in front of the people. Very small crowd because, obviously, COVID-19 and a lot of people weren't able to gather there. Many people who would have come did not come. They watched online. So it had a lot of sadness associated with it. And yet I know where she is. She's having the wonder. She's with my father, who's been gone for about 9 years. And they are having a glorious time. They were married for 61 years, so I can't imagine her happier than she ever was here on earth. And she was happy often, but not like she is in heaven now. And she knows who's coming because she knows her children and she knows the people that she cared about. She knows my children and her other grandchildren. She knows that they're on the way because the ones who have reached the age of accountability, who knew they needed to be saved, they have been saved. They've been baptized. She knows they're coming to heaven. So she's excited. The people in heaven are, excited doesn't even come close to describe their state of mind. So they're they know we're on the way. And just imagine how much joy and happiness it gives them that not only they're in the presence of God, but they know that we will be in the presence of God too. And it'll be soon for them because, remember, no time is passing. They know we're coming. And for them, it'll be immediate, whatever that word means in heaven. It'll be immediate because they'll just turn after they get to heaven, and we'll be right behind them. So it's just, we have to forget everything we know about earth when we talk about heaven because it's not like this. It's just not like this.
You mentioned your mother and father being reunited.
Yes.
Don, what is the nature of relationships between God's people in heaven?
Yeah, good. That's an excellent question because some people, when they understand that the Bible says in heaven we will not be given in marriage, there is no marriage in heaven. And, a couple has been married 61 years, my goodness. The last thing my mother said to me after my father died and I finished the funeral service, and actually we were going out to the gravesite, and my mother is holding the flag that was on his coffin. He was a career U.S. Army soldier. And she said, I don't remember being without him. Now, remember, they've been married for 61 years. I don't remember being without him. Well, it was a heartbreaking statement, and the sadness in her eyes was overwhelming. And yet, I had my own feelings. He was my father, and I was going through that, too. So I understand that. On the other hand, their love in heaven will transcend any love that they ever had here. Heaven, there's no need for reproduction. I mean, the people that have been born and have ultimately acquired a relationship with God through Christ. I mean, they have made the decision they needed to make to embrace what Jesus did for us to allow us to be in heaven. Those people, when they get to heaven, will be surrounded by people they had known and loved here on earth, but their relationships will be superior to the ones here. I would just not be telling the truth if I wasn't aware that my parents had disagreements. That they had misunderstandings. They had things, in spite of their 61 years of marriage, in which it was just a low limb. They were not doing well, and they were not doing well with each other. And we were old enough to know that. And yet in heaven, that would never happen. Their relationships will be perfect. There are no misunderstandings. There's no mistreatment. There's none of the things here that hurt us and cause us suffering and pain and heartache. There's no heartache in heaven. So their relationship, while different on that level, will be superior to the one. So they loved each other here. How much more powerful will their love be in heaven? So we cannot mistake the fact that our relationships in heaven won't be like a teacher and a student, or a grandfather and his grandson, or any of the husband and wife, that it won't be as good as it was here. No, it'll be better. You know, it will be better. I had a colleague. I hardly call him a colleague because I would never attain his level of impact, called J.I. Packer, a great, great theologian who wrote many best-selling books, including a book called Knowing God, which is a classic book, like on the C.S. Lewis level. Somebody asked him in my presence one time about animals in heaven and some other things, and he answered all their questions. And then finally, he it was time to go, and he looked at the people, and he said, "Let me ask you a question. Would heaven ever be less than this?" Meaning our current existence, this present situation. And I've never forgotten that question. You know, and when it comes to anything about our earth that we think is wonderful and glorious, the question really is about heaven. Would it ever be less than this? No. No, it'll always be more than this. It's heaven. It's God's place. If he created this that we live in now, how much more glorious is that? Heaven. So, yes, it is awesome. And the relationships will be awesome, too, because they will be perfect. No misunderstandings, no hurt feelings, no missed opportunities. You know, I love them now, but I'll love them even more then, and they'll love me.
Such an amazing perspective. Hard to get your mind around, hard to get my mind around, but really the scripture that comes to mind as I listen to him, Danny, is when Paul says, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." And oh, what a gain it will be for us who are going to heaven. And again, what a motivation for me, and I hope every listener, that we are only here to live as Christ, to sacrifice and bring others along with us in our, what Don Piper says, vapor of a moment on earth, that we would be able to usher others to come with us to heaven.
Well, and Lonnie, as you share that, we still have more in our talk with Don. So I think part two is in the making, and we will do
that. Absolutely.
We will do that indeed. Hope-filled words from Don Piper, Don Piper Ministries, .com. Dear friend, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, we believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers or to make a donation, your financial support, well, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Donate. And I want to thank you in advance. Revelation 21:25, "And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Don Piper, donpiperministries.com. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Lonnie Ka'a, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.